I care on you, just like a child should do, trusting, loving all that you are. Abba, Father, I rest in you. You're always faithful, you're always true. Abba, Father, you are my song. Though clouds are dark, though night is long, I cry to you, Abba, Father. Father, help me lean on you more, through each valley, through every storm. Help me when I can't see, best for me. Love me, hold me, sheltered and warm. Abba, Father, I rest in you. You're always faithful, you're always true. Abba, Father, you are my song. Though clouds are dark, though night is long, I cry to you, Abba, Father. Father, mold me, make me like new, guide footsteps, keep my heart true, so that the world may see your likeness lives in me. Break me, shape me, make me like you, Abba, Father, I rest in you. Faithful, you're always true. Abba, Father, you are my song. Though clouds are dark, though night is long, I cry to you, Abba.
Turn again in your Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 as we look at the topic of time this morning. As we read those verses, you saw 14 things. You may not have counted them, but 14 things we see about time, different events under the sun. And as we look at time this morning, we're going to look at a time for action, then a time for awe, and then a time for answering. As we look at verse 1, it says, "In everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." And so we see the word season there. And this word is a Hebrew word that's only used four times in all of the Old Testament. Twice it's used in Esther, referring to the time of the Feast of Purim. And one time it's used in Nehemiah, referring to a time to return from journey. And then it's used here. And so this particular word that's translated season here has to do with a specific time when something's going to happen. And the New Testament in Galatians 4:4, it tells us when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. And there was a specific time in history, and before that point in history occurred, God already knew from eternity past when that day was going to be, when Jesus would come and be born in Bethlehem. He knew that time when Jesus would die on Calvary's cross there. And so the writer here, Solomon, is talking about in everything there's a season. There is a specific time for some things, and then there's time in general, and we'll see several things that we'll learn about time. The other word, time, here in verse 1, it's a different Hebrew word, and it's a very broad sense there. It can refer to days from the time that God created everything until the last day on earth will be before heaven. It's just such a broad term for time. Any part of time, like a minute or an hour, a day, those things refer to time. Or sometimes we use it as a period of time. We talk about the church age there in which we are living now is a time, or the tribulation period, 7 years, is a time. And so here, as we look at time, the first thing we're going to see that there's a time for action. And as Solomon lists these things, there's a pool of events here that we have. He says, to everything there's a season. And so these 14 comparisons here, opposites, a time to be born, a time to die, those are obviously one-time events. We're born once, physically, twice, counting the spiritual birth. We die once, physically, twice. If a person is unsaved, they die spiritually as well. But these are specific times, events that occur, and some of those, you know, like number 11, a time to rend, a time to sow. Some of those might not be just one moment things, but they go on and on. And so under the heavens, there are times to do a lot of different things that he lists for here. And as we look at these things, I see a balance of all of these things. And so as he's looking at this, there's a time to do so many different things. And the Bible talks a lot about balancing our lives. Balance is an important thing, isn't it? You watch a child when they're starting to walk, you know, when they're first getting those steps, and you watch them losing their balance. In order for us to walk properly, we have to have good balance. Even as adults, sometimes we might lose our balance. Can you imagine those who walk the tightrope, you know, especially those without a net underneath? I can't understand that at all. But balance is needed. Balance is needed even in athletics. You know, if somebody's playing a sport, if he's batting, playing baseball, you know, you have to have balance there as you're standing at the plate to hit the ball. Balance is so important. And oftentimes, if we're not careful with scriptural principles, it can be easy for a person to take one doctrinal issue and maybe go to the extreme one way or to the extreme the other way. As an example, with emotions, sometimes people take the emotional issue too far, and there's so much preaching on that and trying to appeal to the emotions of man, but there has to be balance. God has given us emotions there, and so balance in our walk with God is so important. Maybe you've read the book, you've seen it, Balancing the Christian Life. One of the books we had used in college there. And it's so important in our walk with the Lord that we have balance. We need balance to walk physically. We need a balance in our lives there with spiritual things as well. Well, not only is there a pool of events that are listed here, but verse 1, we see there's a purpose to the events as well. In verse 9, he says, what profit hath he that works and that wherein he labors? Is there any profit to it? Well, if we view life just from man's perspective, we might say, what profit is there? We work, we labor, we get the produce from it, we die, and we leave it to someone else. But whenever we view work as being for the Lord, we might not know what profit we're going to have, but the Bible tells us that there is profit in our labor. It tells us as believers from Revelation that our works do follow us there. And so works are important. We're not saved by works, but God has a purpose in every work that he does. There is a purpose under the heaven for every time, for every event, for all of these things. God has a purpose and the things that he sends our way. God has a purpose in the things that he allows to come our way. And so as we are here on earth, there's a time for action. There's a time for us to do things. There's a time for us to work. There's a time for us to rest. There's a time for us to come together corporately and worship the Lord. There's a time for us to privately, in our own individual lives, worship the Lord there. And so we have a balance of all of these things. And as we work, regardless of what area of work we're doing, God will bless that work for His honor and glory when we are working as unto the Lord. Well, now we look at a time for all. As we come to verse 11, and we'll not read all of those things that we read from verses 1 through 9 again. He says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. You think about the creation of God. As we look at God's exquisite creation there, man will marvel at God's creation. If you've been to places and you've seen, whether it's the Grand Canyon or you've been just looking at the beach and the sunset, and God's creation, it's just a marvelous thing, isn't it? I mean, you go all over the world, usually by internet, mostly. Maybe some of you have traveled many parts of the world, but you look on that and you see some of God's creation, and it is just so magnificent there. And God, verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in His time. Even evolutionists who don't believe that God created it all, they marvel at it. They're amazed at the beauty of this world and how they could think that it came about by chance, accident. I'll never understand how they can have something with such wonderful design is there without a designer there. But verse 11, it goes on to say, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world, that is eternity, not the world, the physical world, but eternal things in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end there. And so we can look at creation even on this earth, but even beyond this earth. Oh, there are some things in space we can see. Man has gone to the moon, and scientists can observe a lot of things in space. But there are a lot of things they can't see. Man just cannot attain to all the beauty that God has there. And when we look at all of the creation of God and how beautiful it is, can you begin to imagine what heaven's going to be like? If this sin-cursed world is so beautiful, then what must heaven be like? And when we get there, there is no time. That is eternal there. And not only do we see the exquisite creation of God, verse 12, it says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice, to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. God is a giver of gifts. God has given to us the gift of salvation through His Son. God has given to us a beautiful creation that we can enjoy the nature as we look out at it and see what God has done. And it tells us to rejoice in verse 13, that we're to rejoice and enjoy the things that God has given to us. Now, we want to enjoy things in a way that is honoring to God. Unsaved people, and even unfortunately sometimes Christians, they enjoy some sinful pleasures of the world. And the Bible tells us that those things are but for a season. There's a time limit to that enjoyment there. But the enjoyment that we have for the Lord and the things that He gives to us, that He freely gives because of His grace, we enjoy those things forever and ever. God has created for us eternal joy. Whenever we get to heaven, we're always going to have joy. He wants us to have joy, even in this life. Otherwise, He would not have planned for us to have joy for all eternity. And so when we don't enjoy the life that God has for us, it doesn't mean that we aren't going to have problems, because there's a time for weeping as well as a time for laughter. There's a time for war as well as a time for peace. But through all of these pool of events, God wants us to have joy, even in the midst of all of that. And He has provided eternal joy for us. So if that's something He wants for us in the future, don't you think it makes sense that that's something He wants for us now, to enjoy the labor that we have? God is indeed the giver of gifts, and all of His gifts are beautiful. All of His gifts are with purpose as well, that there is a purpose under the heaven. For everything God gives, He has a purpose there. Well, not only do we stand in awe at the exquisite creation of God and in the enjoyable gifts that God gives to us, but also the eternal nature of God. It says, I know, verse 14, that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. And so you think about God, and you think about time. And as the author is talking about, there's a time and a purpose for everything under the heaven, but God, there's no time. He doesn't have past, present, and future. God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's always been. As someone said about His being all-knowing, I saw the sign one time that says, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? You know, He knows everything. He has always known everything there. And He is eternal there. And it tells us that whatsoever God doeth, verse 14, it shall be forever. What God does, there's no time limit on it. It is eternal. Man can't change what God does. And as I think of this verse, and I've shared with you before, I came from a church and a theology that believes you can lose your salvation. And though this is not talking about salvation specifically, it's in creation and all the things that God does, it applies, doesn't it, because of that word, whatsoever. Whatever God does, it's forever. So when God saves a soul, it's forever. It's not until we commit some sin there. When God saves a soul, it is forever there. And I'm glad we don't just have temporary life when we trust the Lord as our Savior, but we have eternal life. It tells us in verse 1 that there's a purpose, every purpose under the heaven. And God's purposes are eternal in nature. Verse 14 says that whatever God does is forever. And so whenever we're going through difficulties in this life, things that are for a time, we look at them with a time limit. But the things that God allows to happen in our lives for a time or a season, His purpose is accomplishing something that's eternal. And we may not understand that purpose of God while we are under the sun, as Solomon calls it here, but God is working no matter what pool of events, those 14 things we're going through, whether it's from the positive side or the negative side, whatever those things we are experiencing, God has an eternal purpose in everything. He has made everything beautiful there. And everything that He's made in our lives for us is good for some eternal purpose, even when we don't understand it. And of course, the Bible says we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by the ability to understand what God is doing in our lives. We walk by faith. And we trust that this has an eternal purpose that will bring glory to God. Now we come to verse 16. And we see there's a time for answering. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And so as we look at a time of judgment, we think of man's judgment. In just a few minutes, we'll look at God's judgment. He says that this place of judgment, there was injustice there. And so thinking about a court setting, which is a place of justice, is a place where righteousness should prevail. And he says, I look at man's judgment, and I see that there's injustice going on with man. And then he continues that a little bit in verse 16. He says, "And in the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there." The words iniquity and the word wickedness in this verse are the same Hebrew word. And so Solomon is saying, at this place of righteousness, in a court of law, where you would think the judge would be doing what is right, what is just, he says, I look at man and I don't see that. Not all the time. Isn't that true? Did you see in the news this past week, I think it was in Missouri, where a man had served in prison for 17 or 19 years. And then another man was arrested that they were amazed at the resemblance of this man that they were putting in prison to another man. And their resemblance was remarkable. And they found out that the man that they had just put into prison had committed the crime that the man, other man had served. It was either 17 or 19 years there. An injustice. Oh, not intentional maybe, but those things happen with man. They don't happen with God there. God is just, and he has a place of judgment. He has a place of righteousness, and God is always right in everything he does. And everything he does is for an eternal purpose. Well, God's judgment, as we see, there's a time for answering to God, and I'm glad we answer to God instead of answering to man, because man sometimes is unfair and he's unjust, but not God. Let's look at God's judgment, four things about God's judgment in this passage. It's certain in verse 17. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. God's going to judge them all. God's going to judge the righteous. God's going to judge the wicked. We don't have time here to go through all the verses here, but you know the God's teaching in the Bible of the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. So there's not a judgment where people stand before God to see if they're going to make it into heaven or not. That's decided before a person ever dies. And if a person is saved, he appears before the judgment seat of Christ. And there at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to be judged according to his works that he's done in the time that God has allotted us to have. But at the great white throne judgment, there will only be unbelievers there. And those that are unbelievers, they've never been saved. They're standing before the great white throne judgment, not to see if they're going to make it or not, or if there's anything they can do at that point in time. There's not. Once a person leaves life on this earth, there's nothing he can do. His eternal destiny is set. And those at the great white throne judgment will be judged for the severity of punishment in hell. And degrees of punishment in hell are taught in the scripture, just as degrees of rewards in heaven. And again, we won't take time to go through those scriptures there, but I encourage you to do that. So the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment. It tells us in verse 17, there's that phrase again, every purpose. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. And there's a time there for every purpose and for every work. God's word is there to judge every purpose. Hebrews talks about God's word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Aren't you glad that God knows our intents, our purposes? Because sometimes there are some intents we have that we want to do for God, and for whatever reason, we're not able to carry those through. David had an intention of building a temple. He wanted to do that. God said, no, that's not for you. That's for Solomon. And God knows those intents and the purposes of our hearts, even when we can't fulfill those things that we really want to do for the Lord, and we can't for some reason. God knows those things. But he also knows our works, and that's what this word means. Any deed that's performed by man, God sees all those deeds. He even sees the deeds we don't do that we should have done there, the deeds that are omitted as well. There is a judgment for believers. It is a loss of rewards because of that. It's not a loss of salvation there. So God's judgment is certain. God's judgment is also clear in verse 18. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. It is clear in God's word, he's made it very clear that those who reject the offer of salvation through Christ will spend eternity in hell forever, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He's made it clear. Also for the saved, he says that there's rewards, there's joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." God wants us to have pleasures forevermore. He wants us to have fullness of joy. And we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy those things. God wants to give us those things now, even through all these pool of events that happen to us in life, we can have that joy and peace. Thirdly, we see that God's judgment is common. The judgment of death is common. Man hath no preeminence above a beast. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." So death is common to all men. We saw that last week in our study. Does it matter if a person is the wealthiest person in the world, like Solomon was, or a poor person? They're all going to die. It doesn't matter anything about his possessions. It doesn't matter anything about his heritage. Death is common to all men. It is a one-time event that we experience there, unless the Lord comes first. But then also, in God's judgment, there is even a thought of celebration, because God's judgment is not just condemning there. Oh, it is for the unsaved. But verse 21, as he finishes out the chapter, he says, "Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth?" Aren't you glad that whenever we die, when we come to that one event, as we saw last week, the main event, the one event that occurs to everyone, but for us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord there. And certainly this portion, as he talks about in verse 22, "Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing, that there is nothing better, that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him?" God has a portion for us. God has given to us time. God has given to us a duty. And the time that he has allotted to us, that we are to be busy during the day, but we are to labor, but we're to enjoy the fruit of our labor there as well. And whether things are going well in that pool of events, or whether it's the opposite side, they don't go so well for a little while, we're to give thanks to God, leave the consequences to God. We labor knowing that we're going to be judged for our labors, and God is going to take care of the rest. He has a purpose in everything that he does for us. His purpose is eternal. We may not know it on this side of heaven. So I think of Ephesians 5:16, where Paul says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, redeem, of course, means to buy up. So God gives us many opportunities during the day, during the week. Do we take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us during time? Because we're going to be judged for our works. We're going to be judged for our intents, our purposes as well. And many things will change during the passing of time, don't they? People change. Sumter changes. It's just changed over the years. And jobs change. Friends change. We have different friends than we did in high school or college. Things change all the time. Aren't you glad through all of that, through time, with all the changes, we have a God and his word that never changes. We have something that is secure on which to hold and cling and put our trust and trust the Lord for that. You think about time. You go out to the cemetery. You look at the cemetery, you'll see tombstones. And on those tombstones, you'll see several things. You'll see names, of course. Sometimes you'll see Bible verses and different things. But you'll see two dates there, a date of birth and a date of death. But between those two dates, there's one little mark, isn't there? It's a little hyphen. And that one little mark stands for all the time between that date of birth and that date of death. What have you done with that time that has elapsed there? In heaven, there's no time. But here on earth, we have time. I read, maybe you've heard about the Bank of Time. Can you imagine a bank that credits you every morning with $86,400? $86,400, and it carries no balance from day to day. You don't have a cash balance. You don't get to borrow against tomorrow. You have $86,400, and if you don't spend it, or if you don't withdraw it from the bank every day, you lose it. Well, what we would do, of course, is we'd go and we'd make sure we withdraw every penny of that $86,400. Well, we have such a bank, but it's called time. Because every morning, we have 86,400 seconds there in a day there. And at night, we write it all off. We can't borrow on tomorrow. We can't use tomorrow's time. We can't go back into time and use it up again there. And so Solomon is looking at time there. And we need to invest in the time that God has given to us. The clock is ticking and time is passing there. We need to make the most of the time that God has given to us, a time to work and labor and enjoy the fruits of our labor. Even when the fruit is not what we want, even when it might be a little disappointing, because even in those things, in every season and everything, God has an eternal purpose in those things. And we can rejoice in the fact that God has a purpose in our labor and wants us to enjoy the fruit of our labor, and we can serve the Lord and the things that we earn while on this life. We can enjoy that time. Someone has said to realize the value of 1 year, ask a soldier who's been gone from his family on remote duty. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who's given birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 day, ask a daily wage laborer who has kids to feed. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask two people who are in love, who are waiting to meet. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who just missed his train or plane. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who has just avoided an accident. You know, time, it passes there. And God has given to us time every day. And He wants us to use that time for His honor and His glory. And He has a purpose with all the things that we labor to do under the sun.